Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Thanks for listening to the first ever Shazam podcast, the newest podcast to the Almighty Balling Podcast Network. It's a Phoenix Suns specific show. I'm Matt Baker from the Brickhouse Podcast, also on Almighty Balling. And my co-host who will be joining me every week is Aaron Thuringer.
Hello. Pleasure to
hey,
be here.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, perfect. Now, Aaron and I, the Suns are our team. We're both from Phoenix. I live in Los Angeles. So I figured in order to do a Suns podcast, I needed someone on the ground in the middle of the action.
That is me, boots on the ground.
That is our resident action man, Aaron Thuringer. But Aaron, before I get into this, I want to tell you about an app. You could call it a handy app. It's handy.com. Now, when I say it's a handy app, I mean that is both the name of it and its service.
Okay.
Handy is a leading platform connecting individuals looking for household services with top quality, pre-screened, independent service professionals. Oh, Aaron, okay. You know how from time to time you need your house cleaned or you need something painted or maybe you need a TV mounted
on
the wall?
I can't do anything myself. Like, I don't know how to fix anything or paint anything, yeah. So I have this problem all the time.
Oh, man, this is perfect for you. If you go to handy.com and download their app, by the way, it only takes 60 seconds to book online and schedule your home service for as early as tomorrow.
Oh.
You enter the code ALMIGHTY50 and you'll receive 50% off cleaning services. If you enter the code ALMIGHTY15, you'll receive 15% off handyman, plumbing, and electrician services. All you do is select the date and time you'd like your professional to show up. They'll confirm the appointment, take care of payment electronically, and boom, they'll show up at your doorstep on time.
It's kind of like the Uber Lyft model.
Yeah, if you need something doing, just download the app, put in the promo code, Bob's your uncle. Etc. Etc.
That's great.
So that is a handy app at handy.com. Remember to put in the promo code ALMIGHTY50. That's 50 or ALMIGHTY15. That's 15. All right, Aaron. The big news in Suns land this week was the two games in Mexico, and more specifically, the play of Devin Booker.
He definitely. I wouldn't say Devin Booker's year has been that great. He's young and the team's not good, so that's understandable.
I think we all expected a little too much this season.
Yeah, but this felt like a moment. This kind of felt like something happened. That's an oversimplification, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, the international games, I've always found this with football and basketball, they're kind of interesting because you can't just send the filth down to Mexico, or you can't ship the bad teams over to London because you need to generate some buzz. So you need to have something going on. So you can't just ship down like the Suns versus the Kings or the Suns versus the Sixers, right?
You need something going on. You need something more than just preseason.
Right. But this was kind of the perfect storm. A guy we both follow on Twitter, Scott Howard, actually brought up a good point of this is one of those games where in 15 years, you'll see little Mexican kids in Mexico walking around with Devin Booker jerseys. Like
Yeah, I mean,
he
I
might have
agree,
sent
and
a statement to make Devin Booker fans for life.
that, and hopefully Suns fans for life, right? I mean, most of that crowd seemed to be more pro Mavericks and more pro Spurs, although I think there were just more pro players they knew, right? Like more pro
Sure.
Dirk Nowitzki, more pro
Well,
like Manu
they have the
Ginobili,
effect.
Tony Parker. So I think that Devin Booker could definitely be. You know, I was telling you via text, he was Mr. Mexico with what he was doing, but I definitely think he could create a whole new generation of Suns fans, although it might realistically be a whole new generation of Devin Booker fans, and they'll be Suns fans as long as he's on the team.
Sure. So the thing I feel they had going with the Mavericks is they like Dirk because of Eduardo Nájera, right? Like
True.
you got you. It's the same reason why Chinese fans like the Rockets because of Yao. So they like where their guy goes, and then they
Can I
kind of
counter
like the
your point
player.
though?
Sure.
When I always compare it to like when big soccer teams come play in the United States, like we don't really care if there's an American on their team or not, right? We're
That's
just
fair.
the stars we know. Like, oh, Ronaldo's on this team, Messi, like I gotta go see them. So,
Yeah, but
I mean,
the
I
one
definitely
there.
think they like, of course, like Nahara is a big connector, but I think it's
Right.
just, oh, that's Dirk. That's a superstar. That's one of the 20 best players of all time. I more so think that's what's driving the fan adoration down there or anywhere else in the world. I mean, yeah, you're gonna love players of your nationality, but I think what is gonna drive them more is just the stars.
That's fair. So this is a coming out for Devin Booker potentially as one of those stars. He shot 26 for 42 over the two games, and he had 39 points in each game. That ties his career high. He hasn't broken into the 40s yet because he had 39 once earlier this season against the Lakers. And he also shot 9 for 12 from 3-point range, which that's obviously a big thing about Devin Booker's game. That was the big thing about him coming out, is he might have been the best 3-point shooter in his draft.
Yeah, and
So.
the form is so pretty. He had been struggling with his shot for most of the year. The shooting percentage was down. I mean, I think part of that is the fact that there's really no one on this team that can set anyone up. There's no true point guard other than Tyler Ulis, who barely plays. But you're right. I mean, the shot was getting better. And I also want to kind of throw into this, like, the Mexico is the narrative, but he kind of started this with the great performance he had against the Cavs last week as well, or was that earlier this week? I don't quite remember, but
That
he
was,
re played really well
yeah, that
against
was a week
Cleveland. It
ago
kind of
today on Sunday.
okay, yeah, and it kind of carried over. So that's about three terrific games in a row he's played, two of them against, you know, two of the three best teams in the NBA. I
Now,
definitely think, you know, there's been an awakening. Have you felt it? To quote Star Wars.
it,
I feel like this is a moment. This is something that we're gonna look back on and say, that's when he started, you know, climbing that ladder.
So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because you've watched more Suns games than I have, because you have access to every single one. Watching that game yesterday, the thing that I took away was not necessarily the look of his shot, his 3-point shot. It was he's pretty fearless getting to the basket.
He is. He's
He's
been
developed
finishing well
he's
lately, too.
yeah, he's developed that attitude of. Maybe it's just because he's now a season and a half into his NBA career, but I would see him go multiple times into the middle of three guys down low, and he did finish. He came away and he would get fouled sometimes, but he also it, they aren't reckless. I'm just gonna get there and throw the ball close and see what happens. He actually is composed and was able to put something together. Is that something you've seen more out of him this year?
It definitely is. I mean, he has the ability, like you said, to get into the lane and finish and go to the line. what's really encouraging is he's always, you know, he came in the league, he was just like, he's going to be a shooter. That was his only MO, right? Mm-hmm. But every time they've asked him to do more, he's been able to do it. I mean, last year I thought he was a better point guard than either Bledsoe or Knight last year. He was running the pick and roll better than either of those two.
Right.
And he has the ability to play a little point, in my opinion. And he has that ability to get to the rim. And of course he has that pretty shot. I mean, he really is developing, and like, he has superstar potential, which isn't news, but you see that at 20, he has all of these abilities, and he's starting to do it better and better. And I mean, the sky really is the limit for this guy. He could be really great. The only thing that's lacking is defense at the moment, but no one plays good defense at 20. And if you play good defense at 20, you probably don't have offensive skills. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough because even young players who come into the league, our friend of the show, Bjorn, who I'm sure will be on at some point, we were talking last night about Wiggins, how Wiggins came into the league as he was known for his defense. Right. And now he's kind of trying to take over offensively because maybe he found that it wasn't quite as easy to be a 19-year-old defender. And it,
yeah, I mean,
because you're still Booker is, I'm looking at Basketball Reference. He's 20 years old and 77 days as of today. So he's still, and we all know how he's grown a few inches since he was drafted, right? Like, that was the big thing about him, is he's kind of still growing and working into this body. So he's not,
he would have to be. Yeah. I mean, if when you come to, he was 18 when he was drafted, right?
Yeah. So he's still, the one thing he knows how to do is shoot, because like, if you're a shooter, you know how to shoot. So that the other things you would hope you would learn is driving to the basket, drawing that contact, and also playing perimeter defense. So those are the things, that's what takes him from, I don't have a good comparison off the top of my head, but just like a, because I don't want to compare him to like a pure Kyle Korver type player, but that's where I guess in a way that is what takes you from Kyle Korver to Klay Thompson, right?
Yeah. And I definitely think Klay Thompson is what we're all hoping he can develop into. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think Klay Thompson might have been the 13th pick in the draft also.
That actually, he was 11th or 13th or 11th, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that range. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if he can get to that level, but it's going to take a while. One thing we tend to forget is how young these guys are. We see this happen every year, right? Prospects get hyped and hyped and hyped in their freshman year of college, and they come into the NBA at 18 or 19, and they're not great for 3 years, and people seem to think they're busts, when in reality, sometimes it just takes a couple years. So Booker's trajectory is insane. He's already very, very good. He has like 7 30-point games in his career or something. He can't even legally drink yet. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, that is true.
But he might not be a good defender until he's like 25. That could be 5 years from now, because he's still really young.
Right. So this would be his junior year at Kentucky if he stayed in. And one of the benefit, of course, when you're a team like the Suns, who we're all just itching for something good after, you know, what has gone down the past 7 years. So obviously we want to glom on to anything we can. Now, in the case you see like Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, Kawhi was drafted around the same position, so there was no pressure put on him at all. So he could just kind of find his way, and he became what he is. Now, granted, he wasn't actually, I guess he was drafted by the Spurs. The Spurs traded up, but that's the difference between Booker. We look at this kid, and this all the expectations of the entire city rest on his shoulders, which I guess, unfair or not, is kind of how it will be.
Yeah, I hope they give him help, because, you know, I was really worried earlier in the year that he could regress, or his development, I should say, could be hurt by the fact that, you know, I don't really know what type of offense Earl Watson is running. And he doesn't
To be fair, I
have,
don't think he knows too.
yeah, and he doesn't have guards to get him the ball. And like I like Eric Bledsoe a lot, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later in the podcast. He's a terrific player, but that guy's just not a starting point guard. He's a 6'3" off guard, which is fine, but
That's where
he's
like,
not the
Tyler
type of
Ulis is
guy
perfect for
to,
Booker.
yeah,
And
but he's
I'm
not
not
going to
saying
set up
that
shots.
I'm not going to say Ulis is going to be like a stud or anything, but that I mean, granted they've known each other for years, but also he Ulis knows how to play point guard and he knows how to pass and he knows how to set up Booker. So that like a, that's when and even we saw yesterday I guess let's get into this now. Because the problem for Suns fans is the game against the Spurs yesterday was a win, and it was a win that was led by the young guys. But also with these young guys, you don't need to be getting any unnecessary wins because obviously you want better draft position.
It's the internal struggle of a team that isn't good, right? Because at some point you need to transition from we want the best draft pick to we want to start winning games, but it's really hard to pick that time and that place. I mean, the game was thrilling yesterday. It was great being the Spurs. It was fantastic watching Ulis and Bender get big minutes down the stretch and Booker take over. And I was very energized after the game. And then about 20 minutes later, my mind just wandered to, did we cost ourselves three spots in the draft, four spots in the draft? And it sucks thinking that way. It's just kind of the curse of a team that isn't winning. And
So one of the things, I guess the positive to take away is the key for these young guys is we all know the team's not going to be good, but the key for these young guys is you need those glimpses of the positives to keep them going. So I think this was a fine positive because it was led by the young guys. They beat an actual good team in the Spurs, and they also, it wasn't like the Spurs didn't play players and the Suns had a big lead. The Suns had a lead, lost it, and then ended up still winning.
yeah, and
So
that was exciting. But you're right, it would have been far more hollow if that comeback was led by Brandon Knight, Tyson Chandler, PJ Tucker, and Jared Dudley. There wouldn't be
Because
any
those guys
good
don't
feeling. You
need.
just think, well, there goes our chance to get Lonzo Ball.
Right, because those guys don't need any positives to grow off of. They're veterans and they already know what's going on. But these guys, like, if you see Ulis and Bender and Booker go in there and lead a game against the Spurs, then they realize that this is something they can do. This is, I think, what the problem with why people are kind of bummed out with the Timberwolves this year is because remember the Timberwolves beat Golden State last year, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of their glimpse of and maybe everyone put too much pressure on the T-Wolves, but it you need these things. Now, if the Suns run off like an 8-game winning streak with these guys, I guess that's also kind of good, but then again,
Yeah, I actually have a question for you based on that. If, let's say there's some scenario where they catch fire and they start to win games and they win enough games to where they're not even in contention for one of the top three picks, but this happens because Devin Booker just takes a leap. Then is it as bad because, well, we're not going to get a Lonzo Ball type person, but Devin Booker just became a freaking superstar before he turned 21. Is that, your franchise player there who can lead you?
Well, the reason you tank is to get a franchise player. So I think if Booker shows he can be that and he's getting wins, you have to take it because you don't want to. The key is not to keep losing and hopefully find a franchise player if you already have one, right?
Yeah,
So
you're absolutely right.
yeah,
I
so
think
if they
the
rattle it off and they go with Booker and Booker's out there scoring 25, 30 points a night, Ulis shows he can get on the ball and Bender is becoming what we all think Bender can be, then I mean you have to take the wins because what do you that's this is the exact scenario you're waiting for.
You're right. No, you are right. But then I just think, get through two more months of the crap, man, and you can get another young superstar to add to this potential. So it's the frustrating part of being in this situation. I think if they finish like 25-57 or something, and they get a high pick, then next year we can kind of stop worrying about tanking and all that stuff, and just hope, root for the young guys to develop and root for them to win games. I think they really only have to go through this one more time. So I still think I'd rather see games like the Cleveland model is my favorite model. Super entertaining, young guys making plays, but at the end of the day, they kind of lose it. Or maybe the
The
Dallas
Dallas
model,
game.
right, where they lose to Dallas, but Booker has this historic fourth quarter. Stuff like that, I think, is still the model for the rest of this year.
Okay, so we open that up. Let's talk. The one thing I think will be a reoccurring theme, we'll talk draft and we'll talk who we want the Suns to take. Now that this will be kind of a double lead in too. I think who we want them to draft is basically contingent on who is still on the team following the trade deadline. Because if I have the number one pick and you can take Lonzo Ball or Markelle Fultz, who are both point guards, that's great. And I would, don't get me wrong, but that the impact of that is a little odd if you still have everyone on the team that you have now, because you're just loading up on guards. Now, one of the things, if they intend on keeping Bledsoe or Knight or one of those guys, if say you rattle off some wins and you finish around 7-10, there are some interesting forward possibilities.
Who's the guy that went to going to Kansas right now? That's one of them, right?
Josh Jackson, he would probably be. He'll probably be top five, if not top three. And but that you look at a kid like Lauri Markkanen out of Arizona. Did you watch that Arizona game versus Arizona State the other night?
By the time I got home, it was over, and I got home like 5 minutes left, 5 minutes into the game.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, to be fair, the game was over pretty quick. But Markkanen, he has a 3-point shot. He has, if he develops some sort of fadeaway or some sort of killer post move, then that he's like a young Dirk. I don't want to keep throwing that. I don't want to throw that around
Whoa.
lightly, you know.
That is
But
quite that is heavy, man.
it is. But it,
That is a heavy claim.
I don't know. He's I like the kid. But so right now, as it stands, what? Obviously, it's all contingent on where you're drafting, but what do you prefer? Do you prefer the Suns pick up another guard to play besides Booker, or do you think that they should focus on a forward?
In the NBA draft, best player available at all times, in my opinion. These guys are so young, they're not going to come in and help you right away, anyways, right? Like, it's not like the NFL where, oh, we need to fill these holes and these guys are going to be stars right away. In the NBA, I would take whoever you think is going to be the best possible player,
Well, I
even
guess
if that means you're going to have a fifth Kentucky guard on your team. And who people are going to make their jokes, sure, but if you think that's the best player, that's the guy you got to go with.
It as it stands, the Suns are in the fifth position, so that could be good enough to get a Josh Jackson or a Jason Tatum from Duke. I always like small forwards because I think small forward is kind of the toughest position to draft. Maybe center, but also small forwards are kind of impact players in my opinion. But
True.
yeah, it's I guess we'll have to look. This probably be a better segment once we know how the team is going to shake out. So
Well, let me
what?
ask you a question that kind of goes back to the whole tanking mentality too. Because the Suns are in fifth position right now, and we want them to get higher, ideally. But how much does it really matter if you move from fifth to third? A 1% more chance of getting the top pick?
Sure.
And do they say, like, I've heard that this is supposed to be a really good draft, right? Like, it's six or seven deep in potential all-stars.
Right.
So maybe I don't want to backtrack on the point I made earlier, but maybe we should, as long as they don't get out of that five, six, seven position, maybe we shouldn't worry too much about games they have to lose.
Yeah, it's kind of muddled. The position they're in, they're kind of muddled in with a few different teams, so that can kind of go either way. I think you get 45 more ping pong balls if you move from seven to fifth.
That is a significant number.
But still it's tough because I want them. I was sitting there watching and I couldn't actively root against what was going on, even though I knew it would cost them potentially down the road, just because I loved watching Booker just go off.
You're right, and like I caught myself a few times just pure fan mode took over, and I was like, yes, big bucket, that's great. And then I'd be like, wait, aren't I supposed to be rooting for the loss? And, you know, fan instincts kick in sometimes, and you just want your team to win.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you a
Okay.
question, Matt.
Sure.
I don't watch as much college basketball as you do, so you're definitely the expert here. I've kind of heard some Lonzo Ball comps that are Jason Kidd with a 3-point shot, and that's like the best player of all time, maybe, if that's true. What are your thoughts on him and his NBA ceiling? I know it's incredibly early to even try to predict that.
I'm actually going to UCLA this Thursday to watch a game. I haven't seen him live yet, but this kid, his whole family has been hyped up for years. Like, I think all three of his brothers are, including him, they're all committed to UCLA, and one of them
Didn't his
is.
brother, his in high school, do something recently where he like just casually made a half court like jump shot?
Yeah, it doesn't even, from what I hear, Lonzo isn't even the best one of the three.
That is crazy.
Right, so
The
he.
guy with the kid comp is not the best player in his family. That's just insane.
Yeah, so if he's Jason Kidd, if the comp is Jason Kidd with a 3-point shot, and Jason Kidd is what, like the second or third leading 3-point maker of all time. Granted, he Kidd had no 3-point shot when he came into the league, and he developed one as he got older.
True, but even without a 3-point shot, Kidd was a guy that if he was on your team, you were never going to have a bad offense and you were never going to have a bad team.
Right.
And if you can, obviously, if you can find that in any play, like I think of someone like Chris Paul. If Chris Paul's on your team right now, you're probably going to be a 40-win team just because he's going to find a way to make everyone better. Steve Nash was like that too. Think of some of the Suns teams post Amari, how bereft of talent they were, and they were
Yeah.
still 40 and 42 because Steve Nash just makes every team better. And if you can find that, you know, like a if Lonzo Ball can do that, not only should he be the number one pick of this draft, but I mean, that might make it better than some of the last hyped number ones like Ben Simmons, who we haven't seen yet,
Right.
or Wiggins, if
They
he can reach that level.
yeah, the one thing they people kind of pick on right now is he has a weird shot. He shoots pretty well oddly. But as Suns fans, we're not opposed to people who shoot oddly, because we had Sean Marion and the like. But
And
it
TJ Warren's shot's kind of funky now, too.
yeah, but it if and I think Lonzo has to add a little bulk, like a little something to his frame. But the way he can see a court is perfect for this. It's a perfect match with Booker. It is a I don't know where to go from. If everyone already is calling him Jason Kidd, I don't know what to add to that. It's kind of It is kind of shocking. It's almost like me comparing Lauri Markkanen to Dirk Nowitzki, I guess. But it.
I just say Booker Ball 2020. That's to be every Suns fan's goal right now.
Yeah, I'll give you on our next episode. I'll give a upfront and in-depth, face-to-face Lonzo Ball review.
Perfect. I can't
It
wait.
yeah. So let's close out with a game of stay or go. Okay. It's
Okay.
I'll give you a name and we talk about if the Suns should trade him and if they realistically can trade him. Okay.
Okay. Let's
So
do
the
it.
first name is Brandon Knight. I think the guy we all want the Suns to trade.
The guy we all want the Suns to trade who has absolutely no trade value.
Yeah, I think he hasn't played more than two full seasons in any of his stops in the NBA.
He's
And he
just a
just keep
6'2 shooting guard. That's who doesn't play defense, who doesn't really share the ball. I mean, he had one really good season on Milwaukee, right? But even they traded him.
Yeah,
And I
he had
just.
a season in Milwaukee where he averaged almost 18 points. Which is good but not great for a 6'2 shooting guard.
His, I mean,
And
I think his NBA path needs to kind of be what Eric Gordon's was, right? Where he found his perfect spot as kind of the backup to Harden and playing off of Harden in Houston. Like Eric Gordon is just absolutely fantastic in that role. And I wonder if Knight could kind of excel in a role like that where he could come in and be a playmaking guard off the bench and play off the main ball handler when the main ball handler's in the game. But I just don't know. I mean, on this team, he has zero value. And I don't even know
Yeah.
what they could get for him. Like, I think
Well, the
they would have to just be like, take the contract, please.
one of the well, that I was just about to say one of the things that he has going for him is his contract. He tops out at 15.6 million in 3 years, which is not completely terrible,
It was 2 years
right?
ago, and now it's nothing.
Right, which I think was actually what they were thinking when they signed him to that. They were kind of hedging their bet on if he becomes amazing, we get a steal, and if he doesn't, then we ha still have a decent contract we can trade away. I just don't.
Yeah.
The teams, obviously, the obvious go-to teams are like the 76ers and the Kings, and I don't. I think Colangelo is too smart to do any like to trade for Brandon Knight because Brandon Knight is not he's not the guy that they w wasted 5 years of basketball to get.
You know,
And
I agree with you 100%. I have a next level trade idea for the 76ers, but it involves somebody else on our list that we're going to talk about.
well then
Eric
jump into
Bledsoe. I
that.
don't know if you want me to jump into the
Sure,
Bledsoe portion
go
of
into that
this.
because they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, I wonder if I might. Eric Bledsoe is a fantastic player, in my opinion,
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't see what the Suns' peak is with him running the point. He's not a point guard. He's just a really good. He's basically like Brandon Knight, or a better version, obviously. A really good combo guard, a really good defender. His value is at its peak because he is injury prone, and you just don't know when he's going to decline. My thought is send him to Philly. I don't care what you get back because it's going to make them a lot better this year. And push them past you or behind you in the lottery.
Oh,
Therefore, you're
yeah.
kind of getting a better pick in this loaded draft.
So it's
So, my
essentially
sleeper
a.
trade idea is Bledsoe to Philly for, I don't know, give us a first in like 4 years. Who cares? Because I'm going to value jumping in front of the 76ers in this year's draft.
So it's almost like a quasi pick swap is what you're suggesting.
It kind of is. And that's actually not great. I'm kind of being facetious here. It's not the best value for Bledsoe, obviously, but
Sure.
I would include that if Philly is like, you know, we'll give you two firsts, or you could have, I don't know what, if they need like a Nerlens Noel or something, but if they got something decent in return for Bledsoe from Philly, then you can add on the fact that they can basically pick swap, because Philly is going to get a lot better with Bledsoe and Embiid doing ridiculous athletic things every night.
Right. And I think that's a good destination. I've thought that trying to get the Kings to take Bledsoe is a good idea, because DeMarcus would love to play with Bledsoe, I think. I think having him there would help Cousins' attitude a little bit.
And if you trade Bledsoe, you can give more minutes to Knight and just hope to build his value back up. So maybe you can trade him in the summer.
Well, there's still 40 days or so until the trade deadline, I think. Right? So
40 days of nonstop rumors.
Oh man. Yeah, we should just start a straight rumors podcast where we come on here for 2 hours and read rumors.
Is that not what we're doing right now?
Yeah, that's a good point. It
Rumorcast, new podcast coming from us. Look for that.
What do we got here? We have the next name on our list. Do we think Jared Dudley has any value, should be or could be traded?
I think Jared Dudley's value is in Phoenix as a rock solid veteran.
Yeah.
His salary is whatever. They don't need to clear salary cap or anything. And I don't know if he's even good enough anymore to be a good role player on a contending team. I think he literally needs to be the guy he is here, a guy who won't complain if he's been benched for a month, doesn't complain, is still professional, and still helps the young guys. Let me even give you a virtual comp to this. In my 2K franchise, the Suns are terrible.
Already. Yeah.
And everyone complains about why they're not starting. Except Dudley. He's fine with whatever role I give him. And that's how he is in real life, too. And I just don't want to trade a guy like that.
Now, I think if the Suns needed to clear Dudley's salary, they just wouldn't have signed him in the offseason.
So yeah.
Clearly, they figured his role was something other than starter, really. And his contract actually descends every year, so it's front loaded, not like a ton, but it's not like he's making $6 million this year and he ends his contract making $14 million.
Yeah.
So I think he has there's absolutely no trade value for a Jared Dudley with 2.5 years left on his contract.
Yeah, and I also think he's here for the post PJ Tucker era too. Like, I think, I don't have anything to back this up, but it just seemed logical that they told him, you'll get minutes back, you'll get minutes again when PJ Tucker is gone, whether that be a trade this season or he leaves as a free agent.
We'll talk about Tucker then. They've got to trade him, right?
They have to. Last year of his deal, and that guy needs to be in a playoff series. Like, I want to see PJ Tucker in the playoffs. That would just be fun to see. I mean, he deserves it. I'm not the biggest fan of his game. He's not a good shooter. He does way too much where he, like, tries to make a play. But in terms of pure hustle...
Would you say he's
hustle,
a classic grinder, Aaron?
He's a classic grinder. Now, I do wonder, guys like PJ Tucker become inherently less valuable in the playoffs when everyone is grinding.
Right.
So, I mean, I want to see him in the playoffs because of his passion and the crazy stuff that he'll do. I love his reactions to things. I don't know how much he's actually going to add to a team in the playoffs. We saw this when the Suns were good in the magical 48-win season of a few years ago, when the games got tough down the stretch and they were competing for playoff position and everyone was playing as hard as they possibly could. PJ Tucker became a lot less effective, in my opinion, because his game is like 80% hustle.
Right. So, and when you're, and also when you're in a 7-game series, you can actually like scheme guys out of the game. So
you think coaches are scheming for PJ Tucker?
No, no, no. I mean, like, you can just, you can make it to where, like, they're not, I'm not saying they're scheming everyone out there, but it focuses, when I'm saying your scheme, your the one you install can actually, like, make Tucker less effective by proxy.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, they're not. I don't think.
But I do like the idea of like a Steve Kerr scheming for how do we stop PJ Tucker?
Yeah, yeah. It. where are the landing? Everyone keeps talking about Toronto. I guess could you try and trade him to Toronto, or maybe you can talk Portland into some sort of Chandler and Tucker deal.
That would be interesting. Chandler is, I mean, if they can get something for him, I guess move him. But I've been loving the way that guy's playing. He's been rebounding everything. He's been like Bill Russell on the boards the last couple weeks.
So if you're keeping track at home, we've compared Lauri Markkanen to Dirk, Lonzo Ball to Jason Kidd, and Tyson Chandler to Bill Russell.
You know, there was no good podcast that didn't engage in hyperbole.
That's true. He's as of today, Chandler is averaging 12.1 rebounds. He's kind of another guy that he's actually a little more. He's better. He's like Dudley, to where he's great for the young guys, but actually in this case, he does have some value. So you might, if you don't trade Tyson, I'm kind of calling my shot here, but if you don't trade Tyson Chandler at the trade deadline, then you're effectively saying he's going to be in Phoenix for the life of his contract.
Yeah, you're right. He's basically going to be part of your rebuild. And I mean, he's supposed to be a good veteran and everything, so I guess that wouldn't bother me all that much. But they can get an asset for him from he'd be great in Portland, I think. I mean, Portland needs some help, and they're obviously scuffling. I think Chandler would be pretty good on that team. I'm not sure what a trade would look like in but
we talked about it a little this week, you and I did, about how it would have to be like a combination of Festus Ezeli and someone else, and Ezeli, because he's effectively out for the year, I think. And you could work like Evan Turner. If they want to just kind of cut the cord on Evan Turner, then you would have to, it could be a straight up Chandler for Turner type thing.
I would like Turner. I mean, Turner wouldn't make sense on the Suns if they still had Bledsoe and Knight, but Turner would make sense on the Suns if, you know, if he was more of a primary ball handler. I wouldn't hate that too much, but that also seems kind of far-fetched.
Yeah.
The scenario where Turner works, they get him in a deal, and they also trade Bledsoe and Knight to somebody, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's some insane scenario where Bledsoe, Knight, Chandler, and Tucker are all off the team, and you roll with a starting backcourt of Ulis Booker and Evan Turner, actually. I'd be in for that, but
we laugh, but didn't McDonough trade like seven guys one trade deadline, and the whole like getting rid of Thomas and Goron and getting Brandon Knight?
Yeah, that is true. I guess it isn't as hard as it isn't as far fetched as it seemed. It just so that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. You're right,
for trading. It's effectively $50 million plus, at least around $50 million that you have to take. And now, granted, you don't have to take all that back because you're under the cap, but you have to find teams that can take bits and pieces of that. So yeah,
that's why we have ESPN Trade Machine, Matt.
Oh, trust me, I spent a good amount this week trying to find random trades, and it was driving me nuts because I just couldn't find much.
My favorite thing about ESPN trade machines are the 3 and 4 team like elaborate trades, when it's, well, makes sense. There is no way Team 4 would ever do that.
Right.
Like, every so three or four team trade created, ESPN trade machine always has one team that's just would never agree to the deal in any possible way.
Yeah, it's like, of course the Thunder would love Tyson Chandler, PJ Tucker, and Jared Dudley, and they can give us Cameron Payne. Like, of course they'd love to do that. I don't know.
I love
it. All right, well, we're wrapping up here. I think this was a good first podcast into what will be. I want people to continue to listen. The problem, and I'll be upfront about this with a team like the Suns, is it may not be all sunshine and smiles from week to week, but
we'll be there to get them through the hard times. If you're a Suns fan and you're feeling down because this team hasn't been relevant in like 7 years, we might make you feel better or worse. We haven't decided yet.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll have retrospectives and look back at actual pleasant time. If you want to find us on Twitter, I actually just started this account, so you can be one of our first followers as of this podcast at Shazam Suns, Shazam Suns.
They know. Suns fans know how to spell Shazam.
What?
A Suns fan knows how to spell Shazam.
Yeah, but we're hoping that everyone listens to this.
That's true. And, that's a good point.
And I'm at, hey, it's Matt Baker, and Aaron is at @A_zone. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks, guys.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.